This is an episode of Susan of SciComm, and today we're talking with Rima Jaikar, who is a school friend of mine who I haven't spoken to for many, many years. So before we recorded this, we actually had a really nice chat for a very long time where we caught up. So it was fantastic. Rima is a neuropsychologist, and today she talks to us about the universality of human emotion. So question number one, who are you and what do you do?
I am a psychologist with specialty training in neuropsychology, which is basically understanding, you know, brain and different brain-based disorders like dementias and brain injuries and how they might affect behavior. You know, while I'm trained both as a researcher and a clinician, my passion really is with regard to clinical work. So I work with people. I assess their thinking abilities, I assess their level of functioning, I assess their mood, and also sort of get to know who they are in terms of their upbringing and their social backgrounds and their culture and their families. And when I'm doing mostly assessment work, it's mostly on teams with neurologists or psychiatrists or someone from the community where I give them recommendations in terms of what's the best way forward for this person. So for example, if they have a brain injury, you know, and they're in recovery, being able to come up with what can they do right now and what can we expect sort of months down the road and what should we look out for in terms of their thinking abilities and their mood. And then when I'm doing therapy work, which I actually haven't done much of this past year, I am working with people who may have marital issues or who may be really depressed or they're coping with caring for someone who has a dementia. So I'm working with them to get them to a place where they feel like they can do the best job possible with their lives, with the deck of cards that was handed to them.
Nice. That sounds like a very sort of holistic, behavior-oriented counseling.
Yes, counseling is a part of it, and providing support is a part of it. But I would say that as a psychologist, what you are really trained really well in is how to change human behavior at the individual level. And behavior change is hard. I mean, if you think about any of your longstanding sort of habits. So let's say you write with your right hand, you're right-handed. Imagine if you had to give that up and start writing with your left. It's so behavior change is incredibly hard, both because, you know, over time and due to environmental factors and our biology, there are networks and pathways that get laid down in the brain that guide those behaviors. What behavior change means is that in some ways we have to change those networks and pathways without actually cutting the brain open. So,
which is what I do, which is which you don't want to be at the other end of.
At least not as a human.
That's really cool. So second question is, how did you get where you are right now?
Well, so I was one of those typical sort of, you know, students, Indian students who's like science and biology. I was in India up until grade 11 and then moved to Canada. And then when I started my undergraduate training here, I thought I want to be a doctor. And so I started doing all the medical requirements. And then along the way, when I was in my organic chem labs and when I was in my biology labs, I learned that I absolutely hated wet labs. Don't kill me, Shruti, because I know that this is what you do for a living.
I will not hold that against anybody. I know wet lab work is an acquired taste, so I totally understand you.
So I realized that, you know, Rima, you can't like dislike or be repulsed by this hands-on work this much and still be a good doctor. Like, granted, you could be, you know, like a physician or somebody who doesn't do surgeries and stuff. But even so, you have to be able to get through a medical training and be good at it. So I realized that we have a problem on hand. And I'd always been interested in psychology and human behavior and emotions, just sort of an intrinsic interest. And so when I was in high school in Canada in grade 12, I'd taken this one like elective psychology course. And then even though I was doing all the pre-med requisites at Simon Fraser University, where I did my undergrad, I was still a psychology major because I really liked psychology. So I wasn't a biology major. And so I was, I started at that point volunteering in various sort of psychology labs. And while doing that, I realized that there's this field called neuropsychology, where you actually get to study the brain and learn what kinds of behaviors come out when the brain is damaged or when it's aging. And you still get to keep all the biology concepts that you love growing up as part of your repertoire of work that you do. And so that's when I kind of decided that I was one prerequisite short. It was like an upper level molecular biology course. I was one requisite short of finishing my pre-med requisites. And I decided that, you know what? I definitely wasn't going to go into med school. I need to pursue this neuropsychology field.
That's fantastic. And that's really nice. So I'm glad, again, I'm glad you decided that early on, because, you know, then having to go through mol bio and then doing pre-med and then getting into a medical school and then realizing that, uh-oh, this is not where I wanted to be. That would have been really difficult to get out of.
That would have been much harder to get out of. And I think that I was also lucky because the coursework that I was taking in psychology at the time, like the initial 100 and 200 level like methods classes, I learned in those classes something that I had no idea about psychology, that it's based on the scientific method. And that, you know, there are these things called falsifiable facts. And how do you test those facts? And how do you design experiments? So I felt in love, much to my surprise. Oh, this work, you don't know what therapy is, or you don't know what counseling is, or you don't really know what psychologists do. A vague sense of someone laying on a couch and a very Freudian kind of psychology that happens. So when I learned that psychology is actually based on the scientific method and that I would be getting really, really solid training in designing experiments and understanding data and how to generate data, that was like, for me, I was sold. I was like, okay, well, this is science, just not the way I envisioned science as a kid growing up.
Well, that is great. Yeah. So that takes us almost directly to question three. Which is, if you could go back in time and explain a concept or an idea or any scientific point to your younger self in high school or undergrad, which one would you choose and how would you do it?
One of the things that for me was fascinating along the way of becoming a psychologist is, and I'm still fascinated by it every day, is sort of the universality of human experience and human emotions. Before I walked into this field, I didn't know that a lot of the things that we think and feel, sometimes they're thoughts or feelings that we may be ashamed of, like jealousy or envy. And sometimes they may be thoughts that we experience when we're going through a really hard time in life. And we feel isolated and alone with those emotions of feeling beaten down or feeling completely lost. The more I have learned and practiced psychology and taken part in research and done clinical work, every day I'm reminded of how universal these experiences are. And that's part of why the science of psychology exists, or psychology can exist as a science, because these experiences are universal. And there is actually a way to study them in an organized manner, with some kind of scientific framework put around them. It's challenging because obviously everyone's culture and genetics and families are different. These you might feel sad and I might feel sad, but that sadness might manifest in different ways in our lives. I might be, you know, drinking alcohol to, you know,
avoid to handle your sadness.
And someone else may be, you know, curling up in a ball and just staying in bed all day with that sadness. So because it, the manifestation is so different across different people, it's so easy to forget that these things are universal and they can be studied in a methodic, scientific way. So that's what I would want my younger self to know.
I'm sure it'll definitely, it would have pushed you faster into psychology, rather than, you know, thinking about going to pre-med and things like that, because this is a really powerful concept that a lot of people, even though it seems so obvious, mm-hmm. that a lot of people don't acknowledge it, I feel.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have those experiences. I mean, when you're reading your favorite book or you're watching your favorite movie,
right,
you do recognize that, oh my gosh, how did this person write about this? It's like they're writing about my internal mental life.
Right,
or
yeah.
How is this character?
There are some really good authors who can do that. Yeah, that's right.
So, well, they're doing that because we all experience these things in similar ways.
Right. That makes total
sense. That's what I love about it.
Yeah. That is really cool. Thank you so much, Rima.
Yeah, you're welcome.